Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. Well, remember, I'm a black British mother of West Indian descent with two young adults now and living in London. Not an expert of anything, but I'm just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences in the hope that it helps another parent somewhere. So I've just jumped on today because I have been in a parent workshop run by Choma, the Parenting Power, and Nazim. Thank you so much, Choma, for this workshop. We were looking at parental well-being, mental well-being. And, you know, that is a subject that is kind of close to my heart. I've just done a live Instagram at Bev Parent Talk, where I was talking about some the stigma and around mental health. But anyway, you know, I found this workshop really inspiring, and so I just wanted to share something that Choma and had shared with us, and I thought that this would be really a very quick and easy way for parents to understand about mental well-being and how important it is for us. So mental health is feelings, emotions, thinking and moods. And that's how she put it, right? So we have to think about what helps us to feel good about ourselves. The statistics said that 1 in 4 people in the UK are affected by mental ill health each year. But my question is, during COVID-19, how many more of us have been affected by mental well-being? Our mental well-being's been affected. Not only us, I'm talking about my kids as well, because we've been in lockdown and their normal routine of going to school is disrupted. Learning online is something new. Being a parent at home, having to take care of your children and their education, as well as all the other things that we're doing, you know, hands up to ourselves. I have talked about, you know, stigma and mental health, mental well-being on my Instagram, which is a Bev Parent Talk. And it's been interesting to see some of the responses. Now, I'm fairly new at this thing and my children are still trying to help me to understand it. So, you know, kind of bear with me. But if 1 in 4 people in the UK are affected by mental ill health, COVID-19 is going to skyrocket that figure. So what can we do to kind of help ourselves? Now, the workshop was 2 hours long and I have no intentions of going through a 2-hour workshop on this. I just wanted you to have something short and sweet that you could think about and maybe put some actions or goals in place after listening. So, and I'll try and share a couple of stories, but you know me. So Choma gave us like 9 tips. 1, and they're in no particular order, remember that, right? So 1 is to take each day 1 day at a time. 2 is to eat well. And eat well for me, I guess, is, well, I'm pescatarian now, so I don't really eat meat. I eat a lot of vegetables, but I still have snacked on. I mean, I've seen other people have got put on weight during COVID, understandably. So I was feeling guilty because, you know, I was losing weight. Anyway, I decided to indulge. So my chin is telling me that I've indulged a little too much, but I'm not too worried because it could have been far worse. But eat well, have fruits and vegetables and the snacks that you have, you know, because that food gives energy to the mind and energy to you feeling better. 3 was create a routine, whatever that routine is for you. I knew that when COVID started for me and my daughters, I was like, still get up, still shower, still dress like you're leaving the house. Get your breakfast and then, you know, start your activities, whatever that might be. And it was just a sense that we still wanted to keep some form of normality. And, you know, the days have mixed into each other. And so for me, you know, sometimes even if it's just keeping a list of what you're going to do the next day to let you know that you've got something to get up and look forward to, like, anyway, you know, something to look forward to, whatever that is for you. Number four, notice how you feel. Now, you know, as a parent, you kind of just get up and go. You don't really think, oh, I feel good today, or I feel a bit sluggish, or I feel a bit tired, or I feel a bit anxious, or I feel a bit worried. I don't know where the worry's coming from, but I'm worried. You know, check in with yourselves and figure out, it's okay to check in with ourselves and to figure out, you know, how we're actually feeling. I mean, for me personally, I get up and I do prayer time. I do a journal. So I write down anything that I'm kind of thinking of just to get those things off my chest. I find praying really helps me. I'm not telling everybody that they need to do that. I'm just sharing with you what I do, to kind of notice how I feel and try and give myself some affirmations about today's going to be a good day. Oh, the weather's not that brilliant. Am I going out? No. So if I'm not going out, what am I going to do? I think I will cover the furniture or decorate or clear the clutter and all them pieces of papers and files that I've got sitting around. I'm going to sort them out and spend time shredding them. Actually, I find shredding really therapeutic, to tell you the truth. Getting rid of some old stuff that no longer serves me in a practical way. And I've thrown out tons of stuff. And if you're that paranoid, take a picture of the damn thing, but actually get rid of the paper. What's the point of having all that clutter? Number five, she was saying, was to think positive and be positive. And that helps in the morning when you kind of set the intention of or have an affirmation. One of the WhatsApp groups that I'm in, the women post really positive, like little statements that make me feel like, yeah, today is a good day. Now, I don't hide the fact that, you know, God is important in my life. And so some of the groups that I'm in, you know, the women are posting daily prayers or, you know, other women. Another group that I'm in called Women Uplifting Women, you know, we post lots of things, but it's really about positive affirmations for ourselves. And sometimes you need to start the day, like, even if you just start the day saying, thank God I've been able to take a breath. You know, I'm doing the best that I can. Today, I'm going to do the best that I can. If that's the only positive affirmation you've got in the morning as you're getting up and doing your stuff, then that's good enough, yeah? Number six was practice a form of mindfulness. So, you know, Choma was saying, you know, she does keep a journal. I've mentioned I keep a journal. Another thing that I came across really, which is free, is breathing. But sharing in this workshop, it was around when I'm breathing in, breathing out. Sometimes you feel a bit of a pillock. You think, you know, oh, this is yoga type stuff. You know, it's not really right for me. But actually, I was reading a book by, what's her name? Amanda, How to Receive Love. And one of the exercises that she put in there for us to try and be mindful was, as you're breathing in, all you think about is, I am breathing in. And as you're breathing out, I am breathing out. And the reason why I found that useful is because I realized that I've got a lot of things running around in my head. And sometimes I just want my brain to be quiet. And I think when people tell me to breathe in, breathe out, or to do meditation, my mind starts wandering and all the things I should be doing rather than actually focusing on what I am actually doing. So I find it helpful. When I breathe in, I say, I am breathing in. I am breathing in. I am breathing in. And when I'm breathing out, I am breathing out. I am breathing out. I don't say it, I think it in my head, people. Come on, I can't talk and breathe in that kind of way. And it just settles me and it focuses my mind only on the fact that I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. Another parent said that when she's breathing in, she's breathing in positive stuff, and when she's breathing out, she's breathing out all the things that are stressing her out, and that helps her. So I think whatever works for you, then try it. You know, we're very happy that the kids are going back to school on Monday. Some of us are happy, some of us are not. You know, however you feel, it's okay. It's how you manage it. That's what we're kind of trying to think about, is how am I going to manage my feelings? How am I going to practice a form of mindfulness that's going to keep me balanced? The other one, number seven, she said, was have a self-care day. Now, I got loads of mixed emotions around that. One of the things is that as parents, and as a parent, I have felt guilty, especially when my children were younger. I have felt guilty about taking time out for me. And the truth of the matter is, the more I've taken, as they've got older, and now, you know, as you know, one's going to be 20 in a few days, May, she's going to be 20. Another one's going to be 18 in June. But so I'm at a transition stage where, you know, government tells me that they're adults, really. And so I've been able to have more time. And filling that time with stuff that gives me joy has really helped me. You know, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that I'm into badminton, I'm into social, I'm into activism, I'm into youth, I'm into community, I'm into families. And so sometimes I just need to remember that I need to take care of myself so I can give and do the things that I do. And so as a parent, and even if you're not a parent and you're listening to this, you still need to give something back to you. That might be, now I'm a woman, so, you know, that might be for me doing my nails, or doing my hair. I remember a workshop that I went to a long time ago. I think his name's Colin. He was saying to me, you know, golden hour. And at the time, that seemed quite foreign to me, but it was like, where can you take an hour to yourself? Now, sometimes it's not really realistic to take self-care hour, you know, but a bath can be 40 minutes, soaking in it, having nice music playing, some candles burning, the lights off, some nice oils and incense in the water. That's your golden time. That's your self-care, yeah? For me, my self-care has extended to, you know, my routine in the morning. It is about making sure that I take that time to pamper myself before I go out. So that means putting cream on your face, right? That means creaming your hands, creaming your body. Make sure it's moistured. You know, and it could even be about some of the clothes I decide to wear. You know, COVID, everybody's in loungewear. I don't know what loungewear is, because I've always had outdoor clothes. And as soon as I come in, I take off those clothes and I put on indoor clothes. So I suppose indoor clothes is lounge clothes for some. But, you know, I've intentionally, when I get up, you know, today, am I going to wear a dress? Am I going to wear jumpers? Am I going to wear a skirt, trousers? As long as me get out, I'm in 90, that is the best thing. Because I find that if I stay in my 90 and I stay in things clothes like that, that I just feel, I just don't see the day breaking up. There's no breakup for me. So self-care can look any way that you want it to. It can be I'm going out for a walk at 6 a.m. before the picnic then really get up. Or it can be, you know, I'm going out for an afternoon walk, or I'm going to the shops, or I'm just going for a walk to see what other people are doing outside. I'm going to turn off my phone is another self-care, because, you know, we're so used to having our phones on all the time. Sometimes self-care is to turn it off. So I know that my phone, I've scheduled it so that my phone goes off at 11 p.m. and it doesn't come back on till 7 a.m. So all my messages and calls are silenced during those periods. The other thing I kind of do is, well, I can't really sleep when there's lights on. I prefer pitch black. And so if anything that's in my bedroom that has light, and that includes the phone, I don't like. You know, I just can't really sleep. So that's another a way of self-care for me. You know, I'm just sharing that because everybody's got different ways. It would be really interesting to hear what your self-cares are. But anyway, number 8, have an accountable partner. Now, not all of us have partners that we live with, that we're in a relationship with. But what she was saying was, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that at all. It can be a friend that you check in with, that you've agreed, I'm just going to check in with you every Tuesday or every Thursday or every day. I'm just going to check in with you and find out and just tell you how things are going for me and find out how things are going for you. You want somebody who, you've got to figure this out. You know who you can go to. I know who I can go to. There's certain people that I don't want to have advice. I just want to say what I want to say. All right. And I just would like someone to hear it. But, you know, if you go to certain people, they're going to give you opinions and maybe that's not what you want. But the plus side as well as having somebody accountable is that if you're going through something that you think you can't handle, or, you know, you just think, oh, you know, this has happened to my child and it's good to talk to Bessie. And Bessie probably has been through that and might be able to share their experience with you. And then you're able to say, well, what I'm going through isn't as bad as that. Or thanks for the ideas and the tips you've given me. I think I'll try that. Or just to know that you're not alone going through it is a big plus. And a big thing about our mental well-being, it's about taking care of ourselves even in that way. And the last thing that they shared, number 9, was exercise. Well, you know, if you want to stay in your house and watch, I think the other day I was doing, do people remember Mr. Motivator? Well, I remember him when I was growing up, but he's got a YouTube account and he's been doing like little 12-minute videos. I mean, you could just look on YouTube and find, you know, a 10-minute exercise video. You can decide that you want to go out for a vigorous walk and, you know, raise your heart rate, because, you know, when you are exercising and raising your heart rate, then that releases what they call, good feelings in your brain. That's what I'm calling it. And just makes you feel much more alive and revitalized and energized. And I think during COVID, sometimes, you know, we could feel sluggish. And the more sluggish I feel, the more I think to myself, things are not going as well as I'd like them to. So it's not selfish to take care of yourself. That's the thing you've got to remember. And it's okay not to be okay. You know, but the key thing is seek out some help and support before things get to a point where you really can't cope. And that's probably why I'm always talking about mental health now, as well as the reason that I did a mental health first aid training, that I'm on the mental health task force for South London Task Force and Citizens UK. that I've been doing a listening campaign and listening to families that I've been supporting who are saying that they're not coping as well and their mental well-being is really being affected, as well as parents who are ignoring the fact that they are under severe pressure. Now, I would prefer to keep yabbering on about some things that you can do to take care of your well-being. I'd prefer to yabber on about the fact that you, sorry, I'm just shifting in my chair, that you reach out and express how you're feeling. I'd prefer to do that and encourage you to find the support that you need, or find somewhere that you can do a little release, or go through some of these tips. Or even if you only choose one tip and you change an action that makes you feel better so that you can cope better, then my job is done, right? Because as long as you're feeling better, you're coping better, then when things come at you, you will be able to deal with them. And if you're able to deal with them, you're showing your kids how to deal with them effectively, right? And that way, it's just like a healing for the whole family, but it starts with you. So there is no shame in looking after yourself and recognizing that your mental well-being, which includes your feelings, your emotions, how you're thinking, and the moods that you're going through, those are all important, yeah? And every part of you needs to be taken care of. So I did say this was going to be short and sweet, didn't I? And I'm going to keep my word. So thanks for listening. I look forward to the next podcast. I'm going to be doing one on youth safety, and I'm going to be talking to a woman as well who is disabled. And she's a real inspiration to me. And I think that hearing from her and other parents and young people around issues that affect us and concern us as parents, as well as individuals, is all that we're hoping to do. So take care of yourselves, take care of your mental well-being, and stay blessed. I'm out.